Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live stream, too, at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm, where you can listen in to the live broadcasts, or if you'd like to, you can catch the podcasts after they're recorded, and those can be found there at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, and wherever you like to get your podcasts. Well, if you've been paying attention to headlines, there's a lot of confusion going on in the world right now. And when you look at events of the world today, you see a lot of lies. Just constant lying, lawlessness, lying. And it's this continually shifting set of do's and don'ts. What's appropriate to say? What's not appropriate to say? What is the way that people have to conduct themselves in public? Should they wear a face mask? Should they not wear a face mask? What about the pandemics? What about anything you can think of? It's a continually shifting set of parameters. It gets to be very frustrating because a person can think they're doing what's right, and then all of a sudden it's wrong and it shouldn't be done. And then it changes, and then it changes back. It's becoming a very frustrating situation for many, many people. And what we need in our lives is a firm and never-changing foundation of truth. We have to build our lives on a foundation of truth that does not change, that is consistent, and will always stay the same. And of course, we find that truth in God's Word. That's the bedrock of truth that we need. Christ said in Luke 6 that doing the Word of God is how we build our lives on a sure foundation. A foundation that doesn't change and it doesn't shift. It is continual and it is true and it is sure. God's Word is that sure and true foundation. It is just as true today as it was when God instructed Lucifer. God taught Lucifer about government and his way of life. Of course, Lucifer eventually rebelled and became Satan the devil. But he learned the same principles that we learn about today. And of course, now we see what happens when a person rejects those principles. And we see what happened with Lucifer. But God's Word is just as true today as when God taught Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's the same truth. It's the same law. And God's Word is just as true and foundational today as it was when Moses spoke to ancient Israel. God told Moses what to speak, and Moses would relay it to the people. God's Word is just as true today as it was back then. If you had been alive at that time and heard Moses speak the words of God, and you died, and all of a sudden you were resurrected and found yourself living again today, well, everything would be different, I suppose, except for one thing. The Word of God would be the same. You would understand that if you understood it in the time of Moses. God's Word doesn't change. It remains true and steadfast. And that's what we have to build our lives on. If we don't build our lives on God's Word, the foundation always shifts and changes, and we end up with major problems. Now, Moses wanted to ensure that God's Word would be passed down from generation to generation. He wanted to teach the next generation and make sure that people understood God's Word. Notice this in Deuteronomy 31. We have a few passages today, so if you have a Bible handy, please get it out. We can take a look at these passages together. Deuteronomy 31, verses 24 through 26. It says, "And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal your God, that it may be there for a witness against you." So this word of God was passed down from Moses to Joshua, who was, of course, Moses' successor. Joshua had this same word, and he was instructed to live by it. Notice this in Joshua 8, verses 33 through 35. It says, "Then all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Eternal, as well as the stranger." So again, there, you know, if there's somebody in Israel that's not naturally born an Israelite, they're still subject to this law. It's an important point to bring out of this passage as well, because there should be one law no matter where people originate from. It says, "as well as a stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Eternal, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel." So Moses gave this instruction to Joshua and said, go ahead and fulfill this. Verse 34 says, "And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law." So Joshua didn't pick and choose and say, well, this sounds good, and that one's, well, that's out of date. You know, back in Moses' time, that was made more sense, but we've moved on, so the laws change. He didn't do anything like that. He read every word that Moses had recorded. And of course, those words came from God. He read all the words, the blessings, the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. Verse 35 says, "There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them." The kids were there. They heard it. Everybody heard it. The strangers, those that were born in the country or, you know, within Israel, they heard it. And Joshua read every word to them. Now, Joshua was a faithful leader. He faithfully followed on after Moses, and he was following God. He read every word that God inspired Moses to write. And then, of course, he applied it to be successful. There's the hearing of it. That's important. And then there is the application of it. Again, we're talking about building a firm foundation on which to live. And Moses did that. Joshua then continues on doing that. You know, can we be as diligent with God's word as Joshua was? Think about that. He read every word. Every word. He was diligent. Now we have the same words recorded in our Bible today. And then even more has been added since Joshua's time. How diligent are we with the word of God? With reading it ourselves, striving to apply it ourselves, and then teaching our children, teaching our families. Can we be diligent like Joshua was? He was very diligent. And God blessed him because of it. God's word continued to be passed down generation to generation. Notice this in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. This is a free course. It's at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have it, please sign up for it. It says, "Under Samuel, David, and Solomon, inspired writers laid the basis for the historical accounts contained in the book of Samuel, also in Kings and Chronicles. David and Solomon contributed most of the Psalms and Proverbs." Now, you know, a lot of times people will see a positive example and they'll say, oh, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do what that person does. I would love to be like that person. But the thing is, we can be like Joshua, and we can be like Moses, and we can be like David. We can follow those positive examples because they were building on the foundation of God's word. We have the same opportunity to build upon the same foundation. Now, that doesn't mean we all have the same office. Obviously, David has a special office, and Moses, they all fulfilled special roles. But like Christ said, there's positions for everybody that are willing. There's many mansions, many offices. But the central issue is, will we build upon the word of God? That's what we have to do. That's the key to success for these people, for Moses, for Joshua, for David, for Solomon. There's great indication that he really repented and turned to God at the end of his life after making a few mistakes. And so, again, we can follow the positive examples and also learn from some of the missteps, too. But we need to be building upon the word of God. Now, nations can be great. They will be great if they build upon God's word. Nations have success when they build upon God's word and use it as their foundation. A few generations after David, King Jehoshaphat used God's word as the basis for national revival and reform. We're just following some of the history here of how God's word was passed down and used. 2 Chronicles 17, notice verse 3. It says, "And the Eternal was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam." So there were people going to Balaam that were going to false religion and false ideas. Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He walked in the first ways of his father David. How did he know what those ways were? Well, it was in God's word. That's what he was doing. That's what he was following. Notice verse 7. It says, "Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and to Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judah." So you probably recognize some of those names. There's different books in the Bible with those names, some of them. Verse 8 says, "And with them he sent Levites," and lists out some of the Levites there that went. And verse 9, "And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Eternal with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." They went out and they taught the word of God to the people. It wasn't being kept as a secret. It was to be taught. It was to be passed down. It was to give people the keys to success. The keys to success. The keys to a firm foundation. And then notice what happened here in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 17. It says, "And the fear of the Eternal fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." The nations that were around Judah, they realized during this time period that this is a people that God is with. They're obeying God. God's helping them. God's protecting them. And they didn't make any war. Wouldn't you like to see an end to the wars and division and the bitterness and the fighting that's happening globally and in our own country here in the United States, if you live here? And it's true of other nations as well. So much infighting, so much bitterness, so much war internally and externally. How does that get solved? It gets back to building on this foundation of God's word. How about some of the divisions in people's own lives? Maybe in their families, or maybe even within themselves, there's a division. We can have that happen too. You know, the Bible talks about people being double-minded, kind of going one way, then another way. It's a division, and it doesn't work. How does that get solved? Well, it gets solved by building upon the firm foundation of God's word. Building upon that foundation, God's word solves problems. It stabilizes lives, and it is a sure rock and a sure foundation. Look through the history of the Bible. You'll see that when people individually or collectively as a group really seek to establish God's law and his word and live by it and make it the foundation of their lives, you see a lot of success. You see a lot of problems being solved. And the opposite is true. When God's word is not used as a foundation, whatever is being built collapses. It collapses, and it's usually a spectacularly horrible collapse. Now, continuing in the history here, King Josiah, he reigned a few hundred years after Jehoshaphat, and he made copies of the book of the law so the people could have a copy. He wanted to make sure that as many people as could would have a copy of God's word. And so he made sure that the people got it. You can read about that in 2 Kings 22. And one of those individuals that had God's word was Daniel. Later on in captivity, Daniel had access to God's word. Here's a quote from the Correspondence Course, and they're quoting Clark's commentary. It says, "Daniel had a copy of the Holy Scriptures with him in Babylon, that's certain. For he quotes the law and also makes mention of the prophecies of the prophet Jeremiah, which he could not do had he never seen them." So even in captivity, Daniel was looking at the word of God. He was using it. He was using it. Notice this in Daniel 9, verse 2. Daniel 9 and verse 2, it says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Eternal came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. How did Daniel understand the prophecy that he was in the midst of? Daniel was in the midst of the fulfillment of that prophecy that was given to Jeremiah. How did he understand it? He studied it. He read it in some books, right? Books that are in the Bible today for us. He understood it. He was studying the Word of God. He had that sure foundation. In the midst of this captivity, without having God's Word, what would he have done? I mean, what would he have built his hope on, his life on? He would have been pretty aimless. He wouldn't have had anything, but he had God's Word, and he was building upon that. It continues down in verse 11 of Daniel 9. Daniel says, "Yea, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him." Daniel knew why they were having problems, why they were in captivity. He didn't guess about it. He knew they had broken the word of God. They had broken the law as was written down by Moses, the servant of God. You remember Joshua read all the words, the blessings and the cursings. He rehearsed them in the ears of Israel after Moses died. And they were still looking at those in Daniel's time. We should still be looking at them today. Blessings and cursings. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. It hasn't changed. It has not changed. It always goes that way. Verse 12 says, "And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem." Verse 13, "As it is written in the law of Moses," Daniel going back to that foundation again, "all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Eternal our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth." So what can we glean from this? Well, again, what should we do if we find ourselves in captivity to sin? What are you going to do if there's a captivity? Well, you go to the Word of God, just like Daniel did. Go to the Word of God and see what it says. See if maybe we're off course a little bit. And then correct it. Daniel could see that their national captivity was a result of sin. It was a result of going their own way, not making their prayer before the Eternal, not seeking God's guidance and direction. And so there was a punishment for that. Now, Daniel went to the Bible. He didn't go to the wise men, quote unquote, of Babylon and say, "Why do you think we're here? Or, you know, what? Why do you think this captivity is here?" He didn't go to the experts, quote unquote. He went to the Word of God. How many people today are going to the quote unquote experts for everything and they end in more confusion? Are you going to go to the medical experts to find out what's going on with global pandemics? Well, they change what they're saying every month or two or more. What's true? What's true? Well, the Word of God is true. There's health laws in there. That doesn't change. That's true. Anything you can think of, any topic, there's an expert everywhere. What's the expression? You know, you could, you know, throw a stick and hit about 10 of them. I mean, everyone is a quote-unquote expert, and yet the problems multiply. How many people are talking about the Word of God today? In the midst of captivity, Daniel went to the Word of God. Well, if you know much about Bible prophecy, you know we're not far from captivity today. And if you look at the way many people live, there's already a captivity in terms of captivity to sin. And Daniel got some revelation from God that he even wrote down in the book of Daniel. And as he says in Daniel 12, he didn't even understand it at the time. And God said, "Well, go your way, Daniel." You know, it's for the end. Well, we're in that end time. You can read about what Daniel's writings are about. You can read about that. We've got some free booklets at thetrumpet.com on the topic of Daniel on that book. So make sure you look at those if you haven't. Now, the New Testament confirms that the Jews were used to preserve the Old Testament. You know, how can we know that we read the same thing that Daniel read? Well, because the Jews preserved it. We're reading that same law. And you see this in Romans 3 in verses 1 through 2. And it says, "What advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." God saw to it that the tribe of Judah and their scribes kept the word written down so that we would have it today, and they were very accurate in doing it. The correspondence course notes that the men most responsible for canonizing the Old Testament were Jews who had returned to Jerusalem after the captivity. Ezra, Nehemiah, and the body of priests and elders known as the Great Assembly. This Great Assembly consisted of 120 men, of whom Ezra, a skilled scribe, was the chief. And you can read more about Ezra there in Ezra 7 and verse 6, a very skilled scribe. And Christ, then, he goes on even and confirms that the Old Testament was accurately preserved and that God must open our understanding to really understand his word. Notice this in Luke 24, verses 44 through 45. It says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So again, you know, reading the Old Testament, it prophesied of Christ. Verse 45 says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." So we have the scriptures today. We've read about that. The oracles were given to the Jews, the scribes. They made sure things were written down very accurately, very accurately. They were, they were perfectionists when it came to writing down God's word. And they did it perfectly. And they did it in an amazing way. So we have it written, but then there's this other component where our minds have to be opened. We have to have God's Spirit to open our minds up to understand his truth, to really get the understanding of it. And Christ was working with his disciples just like he does today. He opened their understanding. It says that they might understand the scriptures. But it shows here how the Old Testament is divided. The correspondence course says the Old Testament canon is divided into three sections: the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms or writings. These are the scriptures spoken of and confirmed by Christ. The entirety of the Old Testament, as it has been preserved, unaltered to this very day. We're not missing out on anything. It's all there for us. Everything God wants us to have access to, we have access to it. And we can have absolute faith and confidence in the Old and the New Testament. God's word is sure. Nothing else is. Look at how everything changes minute to minute. It changes. But God's word is sure. It was sure in the time of Adam and Eve, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, Christ, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the time of Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and it's the same sure word today. Those words of God are sure. It's the sure foundation that we have to build upon. Nothing else is sure. Build your strong foundation on every word of God. That's where your foundation is. The only place to build, the only thing that lasts, is the word of God. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.